The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day, oh, happy blessed place, oh, happy blessed time, oh, happy blessed path, oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Something that I'd like to hear from other folks on, and I'm having an inquiry into fun.
An inquiry into fun.
And I have an assignment to come up with a schedule and for fun, and it just stymied this person at first.
So you had an assignment to come up with a schedule for fun. And it stymied this person.
Yeah. And I've been looking at it, and I'm just wondering if it's, the thing we've been talking about, it's only work if we would rather be doing something else. Mm-hmm. I can see an element of fun in just about everything I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certainly that possibility there, uh-huh. And sometimes it actually bubbles to the surface. Uh-huh. And when it turns into I have to get this done, or should do this, mm-hmm. There it goes. It's gone. Uh-huh. The fun is just uh-huh. gone.
So in everything you can do, you can see that there's an element of fun available, and sometimes it bubbles to the surface. But if there's any have to get this done, or you should do it, then it just takes the fun right out.
Yeah, when there's this really this person identified with mm-hmm. this I that's got, mm-hmm. Her whole world is based on doing this thing, and mm-hmm. How it's done, and getting it done right, and all of that, and I've been looking at, as a kid, all the things that were fun. Mm-hmm. And which has been kind of fun in itself. And it's just kind of interesting how those things just kind of drop away, as for me at least, uh-huh. As I was growing to be a responsible adult.
Yeah, so looking at all the things that you found fun as a kid, and even that process was fun yeah. to do, and then just noticing how all those things just dropped away as you became a responsible adult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there used to be someone that just, she loved to ride a bike, she loved to roller skate, she loved to climb trees. She loved to be on an inner tube in the lake, oh my gosh, and just so many things, and now I know it's the thing that just drives self-hate crazy, to have love and fun and uh-huh. laughter, and it's funny, without making it serious, it is serious for me. I mean, it is a thing that I really need to really integrate into and turn my attention to.
It's without turning into something that's serious, it is serious. Mm-hmm. That it's something that you need to integrate into your life.
Yeah.
And turn your attention to.
Attention. Just bring some conscious awareness to it. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be done now. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I appreciate any hearing from other folks on that topic, and yeah.
Thanks. Thank you, Justin.
That's a really good topic. So I consider myself to be pretty good at having fun, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of people, if someone's just watching me do what I do, I'm not sure that they would be convinced. The reason is because I always want to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I also, you know, work is fun. Uh-huh. But you know, I think what's being talked about is something beyond that is, uh-huh. you know, actually doing things that are, you know, choosing something maybe for small parts of ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's really a part of me, really. Always wants to, you know, go for long walks and be in nature. I guess it's more than one thing. It's just one thing. You know, like I'll go for, you know, a really long walk, or I might run part of it, and it's like exploring. Mm-hmm. It's like a big adventure.
It's like a big adventure and exploring. And so it's not always the same thing, but mm-hmm. it has an element of exploring or a big adventure.
Yeah.
For a long walk and mm-hmm. or running for part of it. Just yeah. going out exploring the nature.
Mm-hmm. Even though I'm going, you know, down the same route, uh-huh. there's, you know, two or three routes available. And I've been here for a long time and have done this hundreds, maybe thousands of times. And, you know, it's always the same one. But it's always different, too. Like I was down at the creek the other morning and, you know, the raspberries. Mm-hmm. There's this spot down, I don't know if folks know where the dam is, but the dam down there. There's a spot by the dam that, you know, is just covered with blackberries every year. And, you know, so it's like, oh, here they are. They're here. You know, it's going to be probably, I don't know, about 2 or 3, 4 weeks before they're ready. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for some reason, that's just mm-hmm. really, really fun to see that. Uh-huh. Or another one I was thinking of is last year, there were some Turk's cap lilies, which is one of my very favorite things. I actually didn't know they were in California, but it was one of my favorite flowers from North Carolina. And there was this one spot along the creek, about maybe like a mile and a half from our gate, where there's some down there. And there's probably like 8 or 10 down uh-huh. there. And it's the first time I'd ever seen them since I've been here. And so they should be coming out soon, if they come back. And so uh-huh. it's, you know, so ooh, let's go see if they're there. You know, uh-huh. So well, I'll go, you know, this, I don't know, it's probably, I don't know how to take to get there, you know, an hour walking uh-huh. or something to find out uh-huh. if they're there yet. But for some reason, that's just really fun to uh-huh. me,
yes.
or to a part of me.
So even though it's a the same route or one of several routes that you walk on again and again, each time it's different, and there's an element of fun in it to go to walk an hour just to find out if the lilies have come yet,
mm-hmm.
and it's fun to see the blackberries come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing, you know, like I saw a fox the other morning, and you know, a lot of times I saw that there'll be a, you know, there's a heron in the summertime that I think lives down there, so I'll see the heron and turkeys, mm-hmm. and hardly ever see a coyote, but here the coyotes, you know, just, I don't know, stuff like that. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. But I think when I was here in Sequoia, I was thinking, you know, I might want to broaden my repertoire a little bit. I was down in Cal Lumber the other day, and you know, they have the impulse buys there in the mm-hmm. and one of them, they had this little crate of balsa wood airplanes. Yeah, I saw those, and when I was a kid, I mean, that was big time. I mean, I used to make airplanes. I'd buy those little kits uh-huh. and make them, or you know, somebody buy them for me. And but I also made them out of paper. Mm-hmm. I was just fascinated by, you know, how to make it so they fly really long, and how can you make them do circles? And I saw that. I didn't buy it, but you know, I could tell there's a little part of me that said, oh, well, So maybe I'll have to explore, you know, stuff like that.
So looking to expand your repertoire. And one thing that you caught the attention of a small part of you was the balsa wood airplanes. And remembering that was a fun thing as a kid. And so looking at the possibility of maybe expanding your repertoire and looking at ways that might be fun for small parts of you.
Another one was, I haven't done this for years, but when I was here, this is actually one of my best year yet goals when he was playing hacky sack. Because that's fun for a different part of me. But it was the same kind of thing that was mentioned before, where it's fun, but then it's kind of like it becomes a should in this weird way, and it's not fun anymore. And it's only fun for so long, because that's kind of it's really a group activity. So, you know, how long can you do it by yourself and have fun, you know? But I don't know, but I have that same dynamic too, where it's, the condition can turn something that's inherently, you know, pretty fun and turn into something not fun.
Yeah, so looking at how conditioning can turn something inherently fun into something not so fun, and how making a goal of doing something fun can turn into a should.
The other thing I think that happens sometimes is the form of it gets kind of taken over by an older part of me, and like early in the morning, I tend to, you know, so I'm down at the creek most days, but I tend to do it in this really kind of grown up way. It's like the opposite of the way a dog does it. Just in straight lines, you know, steady pace. You're trying, you know, I'm basically doing the same thing. I'm getting to a certain place, turning around, coming back. And during the retreat that was the previous one to this, for some reason, there's this little part of me came up in the middle of that retreat. And so one morning I got to the place. For some reason, I got down there early. I got to the place where I usually turn around. And there's a little, it's down a ways, but it's right by the creek. It's only like maybe 10 yards off the creek. And normally I would just turn around and go back. I had a few minutes, so I went down there and went to the creek, and this little kid in me showed up. And I used to sit by the creek all the time. We had a creek in our backyard, and watch the water bugs. You know, those ones that float on top and they kind of jet around. And there were a bunch of water bugs there, and there were flowers, and we hung out there for probably like 10, 15 minutes. And it was just a completely different thing than what I normally do. So it's that kind of same kind of thing. I think I get kind of stuck in these rigid patterns that are really more sort of like I'm accomplishing something. I'm getting exercise. And I love it, but it does kind of take that spark out of it a little bit that the little kid might have.
Yeah, so it can take the spark out of it when there's a more adult who shows up and is really accomplishing something and going in a straight line, just straight there, turning around. And so you have the experience of recently a little kid showing up, and then instead of turning at the point where you would normally turn around, instead you went and you sat down by the water and watched the bugs and had the experience of experiencing that little kid.
Yeah, so I think there's some good things for me to look at in there too, about just, you know, can I invite all the different parts of me in instead of just maybe, I think I probably give the time that when we're not involved in the communal work together, I think I generally give it to like two or three sub-personalities. You know, there's the one, there is somebody who wants to get stuff done, you know, doing projects. And then, you know, the part of me who is, you know, the exercise person, basically. Then somebody wants to rest. But maybe bringing in some smaller, and none of those are little people, really. I mean, kind of, but not like the one who wants to watch water bugs and dragonflies and stuff. And that's a whole really little person. So maybe see if I can kind of not change anything radically, but change, you know, give some time to those parts of me, because I think it would be satisfying in a different way.
Yeah. So without changing anything radically, but just inviting those other parts of you in, where typically your unscheduled time is dominated by two or three sub-personalities who aren't real young, and so just inviting some other parts in.
Thank you.
Jen.
So funny, I realize I've been looking at this too in my own way. Actually, yesterday, I talked about the thing recently that I seem to have stopped planning. Mm. And that's continued. and I realized part of it around the work, you know, quote, planning is there's no point. Because I never sit in front of my computer, so why make plans that it would just frustrate? So I notice it's carried over into my quote free time. Uh-huh. And there's really someone who's enjoying it enough that just refusing to go there, like conditioning will really try still, mm-hmm. you know. All right, so like recently we had a little bit more time than usual at all. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I could just see it like, like the vampire. You know? Just, okay, make a list of all the things. And I just completely refused to do it.
Uh-huh. So looking at continuing to not make plans and how that's gone beyond just your work time into your free time. Mm-hmm. And but seeing how conditioning is trying to come in and do that process and
yeah.
seeing it with a chunk of free time that you don't typically have and just mm-hmm. it coming in with all of the things.
Yeah.
Let's make a list of everything that we
yeah.
could do.
And
you refused.
And you know, just as an aside, this wasn't even what I was looking at with it, but when you reflect that I saw, it's so obviously the point is so completely to drain all the energy out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter how much, quote, free time
mm-hmm.
anyone gave us right now, oh, there's way more to do. You uh-huh. can give me a month off. You know what I mean? It's just like, quote, behind uh-huh. in everything in such a deep kind of way, you know, like email and, you know, cleaning this and doing uh-huh. that. And so the only point of making that list would be to just completely overwhelm mm. and suck all the energy out of it
uh-huh.
before the
yeah.
get-go.
Yeah, so really seeing it that in that process, the only point is to drain the energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the reason I was thinking about that is that, so yesterday, I watched the sun rise and the sunset over the creek.
Mm.
And that was awesome. And I had no idea when I woke up in the morning, truly, when I opened my eyes, I had no idea that I was even going to go to the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fun to just be willing for that, to
mm-hmm.
kind of to be led there
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Yeah, so seeing the sun rise and set at the creek, but waking up that morning having no idea that you were going to end up at the creek.
Mm-hmm.
and
in fact, it's fun because I have a... I have an assistant with it, which is Sadie,
mm-hmm.
and it really helps that I've been actually looking at this specifically, that her needs, and I project wants,
mm-hmm.
match really closely with a very young part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of a way, like I knew at the end of the day, oh, yesterday,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was, again, you know, there's a whole sort of free evening. Oh, there's so much we could do. But look at Sadie.
Uh-huh.
She's completely hot,
mm-hmm.
and she's been tied up all day.
Uh-huh.
It's a complete no-brainer.
Uh-huh.
We're going for a swim.
Uh-huh.
And ooh, the little parts of me are just excited. We're going for a swim! It's so fun. And to get down there, and not just like was talked about, I can really relate to the going to the creek
uh-huh.
is so not fun. You know, okay, we went to the creek, now we're going back. But like that, I mean, I went up the creek, and I was walking up the creek going, well, it's 8:30 at night, look at me, I'm walking up the creek, and having so much, and the water bugs, and the exquisite sunset, the pink on the ripples of the, I mean, just
mm-hmm.
everything. It was just one of those moments of, I'm complete. You
mm.
can take me now. You know, this is, and the temperature of the air,
mm.
it's that place where, you know, my family would tease me if they could hear me, because I've loved this my whole life, where you can't say, no, would I want it hotter or would I want it colder? It's exactly,
mm.
you know, just that
mm-hmm.
beautiful temperature. I mean, only because I was down at the creek. But just all that kind of, exquisite being led by life, I guess.
An exquisite being led by life.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about it is that I really related to the, I've looked at kind of the the process, I guess, or the, however you say that, the content of fun a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think I've killed it mm-hmm. by, like, I know, I'll buy a yo-yo. You know what I mean? And do 20 minutes of yo-yo every day like that. Mm-hmm. But when I look at it, the parts of me, at least the kind of fun I project we're talking about today, mm-hmm. the parts of me who want to have fun in that way are like 3 and 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And they're never going to make a plan to have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to see that airplane, let's do airplane, you know, and do that for a while. And actually, that's going to last a pretty short period of time. And then they're going to be on to the next thing. So mm-hmm. it really does, in my experience, it really is more about just offering the time uh-huh. to that part of myself, and that leads to whatever, you know, like the bugs just sitting there. There's nothing, there are no big things we have to plan or do or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just looking at how those young parts aren't, they don't make a plan to have fun. and so really what you can do is offer the time and then just see whatever will come of that yeah. instead of making a plan and then going to execute the plan.
Yeah, exactly. And as you say that, I know for me it's a real practice to A, actually be there, and B, really give that part of me the time. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, okay, 10 more minutes. And then we'll get on to all those emails that we, because there's like, as an adult, quote mm-hmm. adult, there's this belief that, oh, this isn't gonna feel good to get through those emails, that's mm-hmm. gonna really feel good. But to really learn the skill of, yeah, there's all that other stuff to do, but being able to fully turn my attention to mm-hmm. the, in this case we're using the word fun to describe mm-hmm. it, and that brings so much joy mm-hmm. to actually be able, I did it one Sunday, I realized, oh wow, okay, we're headed for danger here again with that process conditioning was really, I can't even remember, I was doing some project, and it was sort of that push, I could feel that mm-hmm. push, there. Okay, we're really going to get this done, and I just stopped. Mm-hmm. I just stopped doing it. And walked to the creek, and the whole way down, I was like, I cannot believe I did that. I cannot believe I just dropped it and walked. Oh, I know, I was cleaning out my Hermitage, and it was a disaster mm-hmm. area.
Yeah.
I mean, an absolute disaster area. Like, it looked like a bomb went off because I was in the middle of it. And I just got my shoes on and left. And it was the best thing. And the thing about it was, when I came back later, I enjoyed finishing mm-hmm. in a way mm-hmm. that I hadn't been enjoying it before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what arises to, for me is that being led by life.
Yes.
That where you sensed the push yeah. that was coming in, and instead of going with that push, mm-hmm. you just walked away yeah. and walked to the creek and couldn't believe you were walking to the creek.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because it feels so true. Conditioning is like, no, just come on, you just finish this, just mm-hmm. get it done, because think how good you'll feel mm-hmm. when it's done, and it's such a lie. Mm-hmm. So instead, listen to life when it seems illogical, like, mm-hmm. are you sure, life? That doesn't seem like it. But just, okay, you know, it's kind of like that, I've tried this way enough, mm-hmm. I'm willing to try this other way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to lose.
Tried this way enough, so being willing to try another way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alex.
I can really relate to a whole lot of stuff that folks are talking about, and Jen was talking about. I just got that. I never saw this movie, but it was. I saw the trailer for it. I think it was National Lampoon's Vacation or something like that. I just got this image of, I think the main character is Chevy Chase or something like that. He gets to the Grand Canyon, he's just bobbing his head around as he's looking at it, and he's just like, well, that's it. this long trek to get to this place. Just, wow, that was great. Okay, well, time to go. And I've had that experience before. I relate to that. Boy, I got to make a plan to do this fun thing. And, yeah. Okay, I'm just going to stare in there and stare at it for a while. Okay, it's supposed to be fun. So it's like anything can be fun. That's the part I relate to. Is anything can be fun, and like everything is fun. And at the same time, everything is not fun, you mm-hmm. know? And it's mm-hmm. because it's where I am, mm-hmm. you know, with it. But the thing that I think that started with was the challenging conditioning in it.
Mm-hmm.
simply in that I can say that everything is fun, but I can tell that there are areas of my life that if I were to ask to do something, it would get this big no by conditioning, because it would be too frivolous, it'd be way too much fun. It wouldn't be, there wouldn't be any kind of merit to doing it at all. I don't know if that really speaks to it, but like I have these things that keep bubbling up, like that I'd like to do. Uh-huh. They would be fun, and I can see the resistance coming up to saying, uh-huh, "Well, I'd like to do that."
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's resistance to expressing the desire to do something or to make a request to do something that bubbles up that you would like to do that would be fun. And then you get a big no from conditioning that would be frivolous or...
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes there's like... several parts get involved in it. They're like, the main one is, how can I... if I really want to do this, how can I make it into something that could benefit something? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like it has to have kind of... Well, you know, like the granola thing that I ended up doing was like, it had to fit within something that was... kind of like, well, it would raise money for, uh-huh, you know, I have to convince myself somehow that it's going to actually be beneficial, uh-huh, to something, uh-huh, you know, oh, it's going to contribute to selling a market, and it's going to, you know, bring awareness to it, such, and it's like, no, I was just doing it because I really wanted to do it, and I didn't, uh-huh, find an excuse to be able to do it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, add all those elements to, uh-huh, it, of course.
So seeing how it's got to fit a form that has to be beneficial, or there's got to be some other reason for doing it than just it would be fun to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the thing that I think, like the last page of the Making a Change for Good has, like, do something every day that's just for you, do something every day. And it just goes down this length, especially if it's frivolous, uh-huh, do something, and gosh, that one is one. I think this would be a good assignment for me too, because there are several things that I've been thinking about that would be really just outside of the box, and I watched the framing of like, how can I make it something beneficial, mm-hmm, worthwhile, mm-hmm, just so that I can actually have an opportunity to just try it and see. Uh-huh. Like, I love learning, for one thing, you know, just love it. Uh-huh. You know, just that is about as much fun as I can possibly get. It's just don't know how to do something, and going to go through the process of teaching myself how to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially if it's something creative.
Uh-huh.
So those are the things that I really think are fun.
Uh-huh. So what's fun is learning, and just the process of learning, of not knowing how to do something, and then going through the process of finding out how to do it, and then seeing how the process comes in of how can this be turned into something that can somehow be beneficial, that you can't just do it if it's fun and frivolous.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So also another element to it that comes up for me as well is the one of if it turns into some kind of expectation, it won't be fun any longer.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be something that, I don't know what it is, but it's like I have to have come up with it, and I have to kind of like do it off over here, you know, like off to the side without anyone kind of knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. That seems to be a pattern. Like once I say something about it, like, hey, I want to do this, you know, and it's like, yeah, go for it. It's like all of a sudden it's no longer, I don't know what it is about it.
Mm.
It's no longer fun.
Mm.
Like, or it's not something that I want to do any longer.
Uh-huh.
It's now like, it turns into that, it crosses the line of a should. Like, well, now people are expecting me to do it. and there's nothing has changed about it,
uh-huh,
other than it's shifted over in my head.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, conditioning, I suppose, has gotten a hold of it and
uh-huh,
turned it into something that it's not.
So looking at how something will arise that you want to do, but it's like you have to go do it over here.
Mm-hmm.
And by yourself, and as
right,
soon as you say something about it, then it's no longer fun.
It is.
And
just as you were saying that, it's the old, you know, when you're a kid just drawing, you know, doodling something off to the side, and an adult comes by and encourages you or says something about it, and it's like, no way. I was having fun until you showed up. I really think that's what it is. That's what it feels like. When you were just reflecting that back, that's what energetically it felt like, was that now all of a sudden there's this underlying expectation that I do this, rather than I'm just over here doing it and kind of like finding out stuff about it. Now I've got a plan, you know, or I've got a career or a future. That's what I want to do when I grow up. yuck.
So really seeing how it's like being a little kid and just doodling and having fun, and then along comes an adult who sees it and offers some kind of encouragement and just takes the fun out of it.
That is so good.
There's some sort of expectation, or you have a future when you grow up.
Exactly. I think, you know what it is? It's like cutting that part of it loose. It's like, it's like I can do that. I can do that, but without the added baggage of the meaning that's attached to it all.
Yeah,
that's the trick. Because I watch the energy rise and fall with all sorts of stuff. And, you know, like, when I get a good praise for something, it's like, oh, okay, we're doing well. We want to go ahead and do that more. And then if, like, no one says anything, it's like, plummet. And nothing has really happened. I still enjoy the thing, but all of a sudden there's this, I don't know, this framework that it's being looked at.
So. Yeah. So there's a framework that it's being looked at through. And so just looking at doing the fun thing without that extra baggage or the meaning that gets layered on top of it.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Jen,
that little side comment a minute ago was really profound. That thing about I get praise for something. And, oh yeah, let's keep doing that, let's do more of that. No one says anything, the energy plummets. That's so interesting. That is definitely my experience. And that's just, I don't know, I don't even know what I have to say about it. I just, that really, that phenomenon fascinates me. How the very, I can actually just really, as an observer, watch that shift happen where everything is exactly the same. And then there's some tiny little thing, it can be on this little micro level, that's interpreted as good. And it's like, it all comes alive, and it's possible, and there are ideas, and there, or on the other side, just the micro little not good. And it's like, the energy's down in the shoes, and it's like, forget it, and walking through molasses.
So just fascinated by that phenomenon of really nothing has changed, and there's even just a micro something of praise or something that's interpreted as good, and then there's all this energy and ideas, and then likewise if there's something that's interpreted or nothing is said, or something that's interpreted as bad, and just the energy just drops away.
Yeah, it's funny because it's an area where I look at it with some regularity, and yet I don't know that I really, it's another one of those I'd love to hear other people's experience of it, just because I feel like so far, oftentimes I think the next layer of it is, no, don't have that reaction, you know, like, come on, don't, it's like the sense of, I think what it is there's, of course, the intuitive possibility, I mean, it's everything we practice, that that doesn't have to happen. That, first of all, it's all made up, there's nothing bad and good happening, it's completely all made up, and it would be possible to live outside of that duality altogether. But instead of just kind of sitting with, and even I could feel an excitement about that possibility of living outside of duality, instead there's generally the reaction is, come on, don't, gosh, you know, either why are you letting that, basically on either side, why are you letting that dictate your experience?
Yeah, so there's the experience of the duality happening and seeing the possibility of being, stepping outside of that, being outside that duality where none of it means anything anyway. But then seeing what happens is this, I'm not sure I'll capture your language, but that you shouldn't let that affect you.
Exactly. I don't know if I said it, but you captured it perfectly. Yeah. So, I don't know, it's just interesting to, and always helpful to hear. It's the, you know, not like I don't know this intellectually, but it's the human experience, not just,
yeah. Cameron.
Oh, yeah. All of this has been really neat to look at because it's kind of a theme that's been operating. I think it's definitely up for me, and I think Sangha-wide, you know, finding what lights us up and how to make a living or bring in income through that. And it, to me, it's kind of bringing together two things that are really, I'm looking at the times when I have felt really high and really like good about life. It seems that I'm I'm doing something that I like to do, but I mean, I don't even know what makes it something I like to do in that particular situation. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and I'm also feeling like I'm contributing or connected in some way to a larger a larger goal or a larger something.
So seeing these times where you are feeling high, that the two things that you notice about that is you're doing something that you like and you're not even sure that you can really say what that is that you like, but that you like what you're doing. And then the other is feeling like you're contributing to something larger.
And I think I think it's kind of tapping into where we are as a species in a whole global reality right now, in that it seems like we're on kind of the evolutionary cusp where viewing ourselves as individuals and separate beings is just it's just showing up that it just doesn't work, that that's not who we are, that isn't working to think of ourselves that way. We're out of sync with the real, the reality of the connection of everything. And so it seems like we're almost being kind of pushed by the error of our thinking into an evolutionary jump into seeing ourselves as part of the one whole thing.
So seeing that that the viewpoint of seeing ourselves as individual and separate is just not working.
Yeah.
And that there's a push by that, the error of that thinking, into a leap into a new way of being.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, it's pointing to the fact that everything coming from that perspective is just destroying the very source of life that we have to live on and live. And so that's kind of the bigger bigger context in which I'm looking at what can I do? I mean, I'm not young and I still haven't figured it out. You know, what do I like to do, and how can I, what is it that I could do that also would contribute something value? I mean, not on, you know, maybe a planetary scale or something, but just, you know, so that that's what I feel makes me feel good. And I think is also in keeping with a right livelihood that would be good for all rather than just good for me. And so as I look at it, I think a lot of things that what gives me most pleasure is animals and creatures that are living who don't seem to have the ability to see themselves as separate, you know, and particularly watching the interaction between species and how different, you know, you can see the web of life kind of in watching how certain bugs are, their only purpose is to fertilize and pollinate a certain kind of plant and mm-hmm. all of those sorts mm-hmm. of things that, and to see how, you know, when I approach the sink and there's ants, that they feel me coming. I can see them, you know, running to cover. And the same thing with other creatures, you know, that we're all, we're intelligent and we're all connected, uh-huh. in a web of life. And that's, yeah, so how can I optimize my experience of that mm-hmm. in a way that whatever I do is not just, you know, to entertain myself until I die or something, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. I can be present and be in some way by being present and doing something I enjoy doing also bring some level of contribution or mm-hmm. even just participation maybe is enough.
Mm-hmm. So just looking at how to optimize that experience of the connectedness and the web of life and, mm-hmm. and your enjoyment of mm-hmm. the your experience of creatures who
yeah.
Have an experience of that and looking at how to bring that into your life in a way that mm-hmm. that will be a contribution or participation even.
Oh yes, and also make enough money so that I can survive and so that mm-hmm. I have money to support things that help all of us survive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part that becomes for me the it's easy for me to feel and see things like that and mm-hmm. feel good about them, but how to plug into it and get some money for it. What ways uh-huh. can I uh-huh. take those energies that are pulling me that I like to do uh-huh. and create something that will provide you know, a way to survive and to help the world survive, to put it in a yeah. grand scale.
So yeah. looking at how to take that and also turn into something that's a way to provide, so a way to survive and to help others survive.
Yeah, yeah. And I think not making a big deal out of it would help, you know, mm-hmm. as I listened to the radio show about with the people who are already got projects going mm-hmm. and they're making money and they're all lit up. It's not a great big deal, you know? Uh-huh. I mean, somehow I sit there, you know, wondering, what is it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I listen to that show and it's like, oh, well, I just did this and I did that and now I'm going to do this. And it's like, well, that doesn't seem like a big deal. That seems uh-huh. doable.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it has, you know, I can't just go do what they did, you know? Uh-huh. But, I mean, I can, but I'm watching all of the systems in place, the old, crusty old conditioning systems that are interfering with that, blocking that in some way, some belief systems that, you know, are you know, kind of cemented in there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at those belief systems that are blocking the mm-hmm. crusty layers of conditioning that's
gotcha.
Blocking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at how to not make such a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been so helpful hearing what everyone has been saying. And, you know, what's coming up for me is is that process of making it into a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the things that I really enjoy doing is putting together cards or gifts for other people. And, you know, I will find piles of half-finished things that I made for somebody that never got made. And it's amazing, because I moved recently, how many of these half-finished projects there were, and also like a whole box full of unsent note cards. And I know all these things started out as being fun, and then conditioning came in and made it bigger. You know, kind of like the Christmas card phenomenon, where you feel like you have to write a special message, and then because you're trying to write a special message, it just takes too long to get them out. I don't know if other people have that experience, but it is a real, it was an extraordinary thing for me last year to just sign my name and get them in the mail.
An extraordinary thing to just sign your name and get them in the mail, instead of that process you're describing of conditioning coming in and making something into a really big deal.
And it's, you know, it's that making it into a big deal that really makes it not fun anymore. It puts the standard on it that really strips the joy out of it, and turns it into a should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's that making it a big deal that just strips the joy out of it, takes the fun out of it, and turns it into a should.
And also, you know, sets the bar higher than is realistically feasible, so that it's really setting me up to fail, rather than keeping it small enough that it's fine, it's okay, and then it got done, and it was fun, and it actually got to the other person, and it made them feel good, and it's a success all around, instead of, I'm remembering these Christmas cards that, you know, I, like, was trying to stencil, like, literally, like, color in this. You know, it's just insane, you know, setting the bar so high. I think I got 3 of them colored. Yeah,
so just looking at how conditioning sets the bar so high, so that it's just not realistically feasible. And so it's just a setup, whereas if you can just keep it small and feel good about it and have fun about it, and then send it out, and someone else can experience the joy of that too, and just rather than conditioning come in and making it just unrealistically not feasible.
Yeah, I think, you know, the things that are for my young children enjoy are pretty simple, pretty, you know. They're not complicated, and it's really a task to let myself keep it simple.
Yeah, it's really a task to let yourself keep it simple, and just looking at your young children, the things they enjoy are not complicated.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Alex.
I just want to say that was really helpful for me, because I have a George Lucas kind of approach to projects. It's funny, I have not looked at I started to put together a Voices cartoon website, and I have not looked at that in so long. I looked at it today, and I was just like, wow. Talk about the long boat to China. It was just, I had to learn how to do something in order to make it animated, and it was like, I was surprised at what actually got started, but I think the same thing happened with it, is that it just became big, and I don't know how it became that way, and it just stopped. And, I watch that. There's some things actually follow through, you know, I either do them, because I think it's because they're big, but they're short, the span is so short that it doesn't have the opportunity to, it's almost like something happened, it's either, because the momentum just kept on going, but I think it started off fun and it ended up getting pushed. And that's how it finished. anyway.
So just looking at that phenomenon of something being too big, that then it just, there's, you just stop doing it.
Yeah. I think I avoid stopping working on something that has to be constant, continuous, because there's this fear that if something interferes with it, it will never get picked up back again. I distinctly remember the experience that I had. I even know what I was drawing in the basement when my mom called me up for dinner. And I remember at that point I was thinking, you know, if I stop this, I'll never go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right. It was karmic, yeah. Right. Because I remember the resistance that I would have constantly to come up and eat. You know, she would just open the door to the cellar, and she'd just say, come up and eat, over and over and over again. I would just say, no. To myself, I wouldn't say anything. I would just pretend like I wasn't hearing
it. So you can remember being young and having that process of seeing clearly that you knew if you stopped what you were doing, you wouldn't go back to it.
I wouldn't go back to it, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was having fun. There was no doubt about the fact that I was having fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's been very illuminating talking about my childhood through these examples, and I had no idea that they were related to, until I just heard how it felt,
mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what it feels like.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know what the fear is. You know, because I think at a particular point I would just stopped it and left it, and great, it's you know, the what are those masterpieces that are just kind of like chiseled out, you can barely see a finger in them, you know, but I just project the same thing happened to those books. Now they're famous museums, and so I'm not too concerned, but I think I was much older at that point, so it has that element of it needs to be finished, it needs to be look a particular way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, I just remember spending, you know, I'd be up all night working on things,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because I also had the same phenomenon of putting it off and not starting until I think I had that experience of staying up all night and working on something continuously through too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's just interesting how that whole thing, like there's a little spark, you know, I just relate to the spark.
Uh-huh.
You know, that, you know, like listening to the 300 for 1,000, there's a little spark, and it's like, yeah, I could do that. And I, even as I start
mm-hmm.
doing it, that, yeah, I could do that, is still there.
Uh-huh.
And then I just watch how it just, and then this, and then that, and then this, and then, oh, yeah, how about, and it's like, I totally relate to the keeping it simple, it's keeping
mm-hmm.
the voices out.
Yeah, keeping it simple is keeping the voices out.
Yeah.
That there's a spark. And the spark continues as you move along, but then in comes, you could do this, you could do that.
Yeah, it's the whole grown-up effect, you know, it's the whole, you know, you could do this when you grow up, or, you know, you can make money doing this element to it.
Uh-huh.
The kid is like, well, that's, what, so what? You know, it's like,
uh-huh.
yeah, until it gets explained that, you know, the money brings in bikes, and it's just an odd concept.
Yeah, so that little kid's not interested in
that. No, just going to town.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, this is very helpful. Thank you.
Justin.
Along those lines, and the other one was the good bad thing we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I finished a big project this winter.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on the book, and I finished the, you know, kind of the initial part of it. And I mean, it's been out there for years,
mm-hmm.
waiting for me to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think how I finished it was it was fun. What was interesting to me about it as I was listening people talk is it was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was also really, really a big push.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really pushed
mm-hmm.
This winter to make it happen. And it's interesting those two things that go together. Because,
mm.
I mean, the pushing wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, even that was kind of fun in a way. It's kind of like you get in this, or I got in this,
mm-hmm.
kind of like in this groove. And it's like, as soon as there was any space, the attention went, okay, where are we? Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as it was over, I mean, that was gone. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that groove, I mean, it's not around, and mm-hmm. so there's other things happening. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, that was interesting too, because in the conditional way I look at it, those two things can't really go together. Mm-hmm. Something that has that kind of, it's not even really push, it's just like this, it's moving on its own. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
So seeing how when you complete a big project that was there waiting for you to finish for years, and that it was really fun, and there was also a push to get done. Mm-hmm. And so from the condition point of view, those two things can't go together. Mm-hmm. But so just seeing how it was like there was like this groove, and it was just moving on, that there was movement there. Mm-hmm. towards completing it, but it was also fun.
Yeah, I think a big piece of it too, related to that one part of the conversation earlier, was letting go, at least as far as I can tell, or at least to a certain extent, you know, mm-hmm. I have to put qualifiers on it, but of needing it for it to be good. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I think that's a lot of what paralyzed me for a mm-hmm. long time. And mm-hmm. It's been interesting too, because, you know, it's out now in a couple of small places, and there hasn't really been any feedback. There's been one small piece of positive feedback, but I just watch. It's kind of like this kind of protection. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. You know, I did it for mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. You know, that was it. I did it for me. That's the end of the story. Uh-huh. I don't care where it goes. I don't care what anybody says about it. But uh-huh. It does feel like a little bit of a protective shell, because I know somebody says, hey, I kind of like that. If I leave mm-hmm. kind of here to mm-hmm. go and try to like, get like enjoy that, uh-huh. I'm just going to get hammered.
Uh-huh. Yes, you can see a protective shell around mm-hmm. that, the experience of, I did it for me, I don't care what anyone else mm-hmm. says about it. And but just seeing that if someone were to say give some praise, that if you were to go leave that place and go enjoy that, that you would get hammered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was interesting because I actually did kind of get hammered because, not because anything happened on the outside, but when I finished it, and then I wasn't sure what was going to happen, and then Sherry basically said, well, why don't you send it around? Mm-hmm. And so then there's like this moment of truth, well, oh, okay, well, I'm going to actually have to let go of this thing out into uh-huh. the world. Uh-huh. So I put it off for about a week, and then I finally did that, and then I got pretty darn identified for a couple weeks after that, mm-hmm. and basically I was just waiting to get pounded, mm-hmm. just waiting to get mm-hmm. just creamed for doing that, uh-huh. And of course it didn't happen. I mean, actually nothing happened. I mean, it was just silence, and so, but I was really, and still am, really grateful to have that period of time to go through that, because just to see the vulnerability mm-hmm. that was in here, mm-hmm. and just in. And the little parts of me who are kind of surfacing, trying to deal with that, and mm-hmm. just seeing how much I need to, you know, this is the case where, you know, really does need to be a grown-up person, not a bunch of little people mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. around. And they need to be in a place where they're completely okay, and they know that nothing happens on the outside is going to have anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so having that experience of putting it out there for a week, and then doing it, and having a couple weeks where you were identified, and seeing that it was like the expectation was that you were going to get creamed, which didn't happen. But what you did see was the vulnerability that was in there, and those young parts surfacing to deal with that. And mm-hmm. so seeing that a grown-up really does have to be there, and that those young parts need to be protected and know that they're okay no matter what. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it really has to, I just have to, as with everything, not take it personally. Because mm-hmm. That's what's fun. I mean, that was mm-hmm. what was fun about being involved in its creation, because I didn't really feel like, I mean, it's mixed, I'm sure. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure might even find out, you know, that there's, you know, just, it's just all karma just coming out onto the page. That, you know, very well could be the case. But in a way, it doesn't really matter, because mm-hmm. it was fun sort of just having it, watching it come into being, and mm-hmm. it didn't really even feel like, I mean, the body was typing the keys, but mm-hmm. it just felt like something kind of larger, mm-hmm. and it would be kind of absurd to take it personally now, mm-hmm. And it would just make a target out of me, mm-hmm. you know, but anything, like I said before, you know, a little bit bad, a little bit good, if I'm willing to go to either one of those places, it's going to be ugly. And then, well, of course, what would happen, I think this is a big part of what conditioning would want to have happen, is I'm never going to do that again. Mm-hmm. That was too painful. That was mm-hmm. awful. That was mm-hmm. an awful experience. Mm-hmm. And that just goes straight back to my childhood. Hey, look what I found. Mm-hmm. You know, Mom, look what I found. Or who cares? Shut up. Or, I mean, not that my mom said that, but it was important. My dad did. But anyway, it's just that old childhood conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just saying that if you go to either side of that, something good or something bad, that it'll just get ugly, and the conditioning will come in that basically you should never do that again. Mm-hmm. It's too painful.
Yeah, I'm kind of projecting that onto the whole conversation this morning, kind of like this wanting to make up sort of a bubble of the innocence can be in, because mm-hmm. that's where that's where that little model airplane could be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just this doesn't mean anything beyond what's happening right now, and mm-hmm. then when it's over, it's over, and it's not something we ever go back to in terms of really like remembering it, mm-hmm. in particular or anything like that. It's just mm-hmm. it's a little. Here's a space where you can absolutely be safe to let go into the experience of just the joy of just being here, messing with what's here, mm-hmm. and knowing that that's a safe place, and then we're not going to carry that into interactions with other people or the work mm-hmm. environment or any mm-hmm. of that, because it just would be horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just looking at creating a bubble for that innocence, that just a safe place where you can just explore what's going on in the world, and those young parts can be safe to be there and do that, and that it's not going to go out into the work world or any place mm-hmm. else, and just creating that safe bubble.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Susan was talking, I had the image of she and her sister creating a list of things they fight about mm-hmm. and making copies and passing them out. And then having people, the other people around them, to say, this one, fight about this one.